We continue our summer series, David Rockstar, and this morning we're looking at Friends for Life. And we are in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 16. And this is just after David has defeated Goliath. When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was wearing and gave it to David and his armor, and even his sword and bow and his belt. David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. And as a result, Saul set him over the army. And all the people, even the servants of Saul, approved. As they were coming home, when David returned from killing the Philistine, the women came out of all the towns of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines and songs of joy and with musical instrument. And the women sang to one another as they made merry, "Saul has killed his 1,000 and David his 10,000. Saul was very angry. "What more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, an evil spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house while David was playing the lyre, as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul threw the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him the commander of 1,000. And David marched out and came in, leading the army. David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he had a great success, he stood in awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for it was he who marched out and came in leading them. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, we're looking at Friends for Life this morning. Heard the story of these two men who were friends. They went out camping in the wilderness, and the first morning when they got up, they were just around the campfire, just having their first cup of coffee, and they looked over, and they heard this crashing in the woods, and looked at it, and they saw a grizzly bear charging at them. One man began to put on his tennis shoes feverishly, and his friend looked at him and said, "What's wrong with you? You can't outrun a grizzly bear." Friend, without stopping from putting on his shoes, says, "I don't have to outrun a grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you." You got any friends like that? I hope not, actually. Well, this morning we're looking at Friends for Life. We started this series with David as rock star and David's call as just a young boy. Last week we looked at David, who was so young, he was still out tending the sheep, and was called to take lunch to his brothers, just a menial task. But he heard the giant Goliath making fun of the armies of Israel. Everyone was afraid to go out against him, and David went out. And we said that there were really two reasons, and really a third, that David is a rock star. The first is, he wrote over, well, about half the Psalms, 73 of 150 that we know of, and he sung them, played harp, so he was a singer, guitar player, rock star. And then the third reason was, in that moment, David took his slingshot, rather than the armor of Saul, the swords of the soldiers, and he took that slingshot, and he killed Goliath with a rock. So he's a rock star for lots of reasons, but the crowds, the armies, were enamored with David. Who wouldn't be? This young boy went up against this giant Goliath and defeated him. And people were just making music about it, writing songs about it. The women came out, and they sung and they swooned. He's a rock star, right? And they sung, "Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s." Now, you know, who wouldn't be happy if you're a soldier, warrior, leader, what have you, killing 1,000? But Saul was angry and jealous. You ever have any friends that are just jealous of some little thing that you have? We all do sometimes, or maybe you've even felt jealousy yourself. Sometimes we all have that. And so Saul was just consumed with jealousy. But on the other hand, there was Saul's son, young Jonathan. And we're told that Jonathan and David had an instant connection as friends that was deep and enduring. And later they made a covenant, and it endured for all of their lives. Friends for life. Do you have any friends for life? And I think it's interesting when you look at that friendship, because I think there's some key things that we can learn about our own lives as friends and about being friends to others. And as we look at this, I was thinking about this. You probably know that C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Four Loves, and in it he talks about four loves, storge, which is kind of affection, eros, which is the romantic love, and then philos is the friendship love, and of course agape is that self-sacrificing love that we find in Christ, and we try to have the Holy Spirit help us to have that same kind of love. But all those loves are important, and C.S. Lewis talks about how important it is to really have deep friendship love, this philos love that the Greeks often talked about. And you see that in Jonathan and David. And so I invite you to think about that this morning. So I think there's four qualities there for friends. And there's more for friendship, but I think in this moment you see four qualities. And the first thing is to have a commitment, not just a connection. You know, for a lot of friends, we have this connection. Now, connections can be fleeting, and Jonathan and David did have an important connection. You might say, what is that? We don't know everything, but one thing is they both had a warrior spirit. They're both fighters. Now, you might not recall, but in the backstory, if you go back to 1 Samuel 14, you'll see that Jonathan, Saul's son, was a great warrior. In fact, in 1 Samuel 14, there's this moment where the Philistine armies are up on this hillside. It's really a mountainside. And then over below is Saul's army. And Saul is in and out of this cave. We don't know if he's hiding or just sort of his headquarters, but, you know, he's sort of in the cave waiting. And all the Israelite armies are afraid of the Philistines. And Jonathan and his armor bearer look over there at these Philistines on the hillside. And Jonathan says, you know what? Let's go up to that hillside. And if they say, come to us, we'll go and we'll make war with them. We'll fight them. And if they say go back, we'll go back. We're looking for the sign of the Lord. And Jonathan's armor bearer said, I'm with you. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer, like a Navy SEAL team, you know, sort of climbing this these cliffs, go up this mountainside. And sure enough, they get to the top, and the Philistines begin to make fun of them and say, look, the dogs have come out of their holes. And then they make fun of him and say, come to us. And Jonathan looks at his armor bearer and says, let's go. And so Jonathan pulls out his sword, his armor bearer, and they take on all these Philistines. And they win. And they start to flee. And below, all of a sudden, Saul and his armies look up and go like, what is happening on that hillside there? And so they said, I think it's one of ours. So they sort of do a roll call, and they find out that Jonathan and his armor bearer are missing. And they realize it's Jonathan, and they all joined in the fight. It's easy to join the fight when everybody's already fleeing, right? So there was this warrior spirit in Jonathan, who really was a war hero, along with David. And in that moment, there's a connection that's deep and that's enduring. There may have been a lot of other qualities, but the more important thing is there's a commitment. You know people that, you know, there's a connection and it's fleeting, it's gone. But a true friendship has a commitment that endures. Now, that commitment of Jonathan to David was so strong that Jonathan's father, Saul, is going to try to kill David right away, right? He throws a spear at him, you know. Whoops, I let the spear go while you're singing, you know, twice. So it couldn't have been a mistake. David figured out, right? And guess who is the heir apparent to the throne, by the way? Jonathan. It's Jonathan. Jonathan's commitment to David is so strong that even though it was to be Jonathan's throne, Jonathan supported David. Now, friends, that's a commitment. How many friends do you have that have that kind of commitment, I wonder? The second quality is a good friend encourages our strength and shields our weaknesses. Now, I want you to hear this because I think it's not only literal, but I think it's also beautiful metaphorically. And it says this, then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was wearing and gave it to David and his armor and his sword and his bow and his belt. See, David just had a slingshot. Saul's stuff was too big for David, right? But Jonathan sees that David is lacking real warrior stuff, even though he was victorious against Goliath in that slingshot. And if he was going to go on and be the true war hero that he was called to be before he moves into the throne, that he needed soldier's tools. And so Jonathan encourages those strengths. He gives him his sword. gives him his bow. Both were very valuable in that day. Those were the accoutrements of war and battle and of a warrior spirit. And so he encourages his strength. And do have people that encourage your strength and do encourage other people's strength. And then they shield them from their weaknesses. Now, what was David's weakness? Well, David was a shepherd. He was the youngest. And not everybody knew that Samuel had anointed David as king in waiting. And so, knowing that, Jonathan does what? He gives him his robe. What was his robe? That was the robe of kingship. That was the robe of a prince. And he gives him his armor to shield him from his weakness. And that is amazing because in that moment, he was really giving of himself. And so in our own lives, we might not be in a situation like Jonathan and David on the battlefield, but you and I all have moments where we can encourage someone else's strength and shield someone else's weaknesses. How are you at doing that today? Are you willing to encourage the strength of someone else? Now, Saul would be jealous. Jonathan encouraged David's strength. And Saul would try to take advantage of David's weaknesses, but Jonathan shielded his weaknesses. And the third thing is to speak the truth in love. You probably recall that from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, where Paul tells the church that that's one of the things that we should do, to speak the truth in love. We want to speak the truth, not lie, but we want to do it in love, not kind of wield the truth like a sword. And so there comes a point in time in the near future from this passage here where David does suspect that Saul wants to kill him. He was the king in waiting, after all. And he goes to Jonathan and tells him that, and Jonathan says, I don't think that's true. And David says, why don't you do this? Why don't you sort of challenge Saul? And he gives him this scenario. And then if Saul bursts out that he wants to kill me, then I want you to do this. And he tells him about going out there in the field and to shoot some arrows and as a sign to David and then to talk to him later, to connect later. And so David first speaks the truth in love to Jonathan, and then Jonathan does find out that Saul does indeed, his own dad wants to kill his best friend. And so he has to speak the truth in love to David. He does it, first of all, through a sign about shooting these arrows, and then he goes to him in person and says, listen, you need to watch out. You need to always look over your shoulder, and I, too, will watch out for you. Who do you have that will speak the truth in love to you? Sometimes it's a hard truth, isn't it? And so that's important. And then finally, a person who is willing to sacrifice their self-interest for your best interest. To sacrifice their self-interest for your best interest. Nothing could be truer than Jonathan giving his throne to David. And how hard that must have been. Saul was consumed with jealousy and envy. Jonathan, who would have been the heir apparent to the throne, who would have ascended to become king, willingly set aside his best interests for David's interests. Who do you have that's like that? Are you willing to give up your self-interest for the best interest of a friend? It's not an easy thing to do, is it? So think about that in this story that will unfold as we continue to sort of take this journey along the road with Jonathan and David. We all need good friends in life, don't we? My mother, one time when I was young, you know, you always have this moment where you go, I just don't seem to have the friends that I want, right? You have this moment where maybe a friend leaves or something. And so I kind of went and shared that. And she said, well, listen, we all go through chapters in life like that, but if you want to have good friends, then be the friend that everyone wants as a friend. Be the friend that you want to be to other people, and you always have friends. And I have found that to be a great kernel of truth in my life, great wisdom. So today, what kind of friends do you have? And just as important, what kind of a friend are you? There's a great story that I love about friends. It's the story of Jackie Robinson, number 42, who was the first African-American to play Major League Baseball. He was drafted by Branch Rickey and for the Brooklyn Dodgers when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn. And it was something that was really just unbelievable at the time for folks. Shouldn't have been, but it was. And it caused a lot of controversy, but Branch Rickey was willing to do it. He saw that future, thankfully. And so it was a controversy. And even from the own team in the Brooklyn Dodgers, there was a lot of pushback. But there was a Southern white gentleman by the name of Pee Wee Reese. And they struck up a friendship. And Pee Wee Reese played shortstop. And Jackie Robinson, of course, played first base. And it was a big controversy, not just their friendship, but when they were traveling to other games that were away, they became roommates. And the press put back on that, and Pee Wee Reese just sort of shuffled it off. But everywhere they went, Jackie Robinson faced a lot of hate, frankly, from much of the crowd. He would face people yelling racial slurs at him and people throwing things on the field. And even sometimes from other teammates, they would spike him and hurt him. And on one particular hot day in Cincinnati, the crowd before the game just became so raucous and throwing stuff on the field, and the racial slurs were horrible. And Pee Wee Reese called timeout from his position at shortstop, and he went over and stood next to Jackie Robinson on first base and just put his arm around him and stood there until the crowd quieted down, as if to say, "This man is my friend." That, friends, is the kind of friend that you and I want, and you and I want to be. And when you have that kind of friendship, racial barriers, cultural barriers fade, because there's a connection in the heart, but even more, there's a commitment. We're willing to encourage strengths and to shield weaknesses. We're willing to speak the truth in love, and we're willing to give up our self-interest for the best interest of that person. And when you have friends like that, they're friends for life, through the thick and thin of life, and that friendship is life-giving. That's the kind of friendship that David and Jonathan had. I don't know how many friends you have like that. Most of us are lucky to have one or two or three like that. But here's some good news along with that, is that Jesus, in talking to his disciples, said this: "Greater love have no one than he lay down his life for his friends. And I no longer call you servants, but friends, because everything the Father has made known to me, I've made known to you." Jesus fulfills all those four qualities and more as our friend for life. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about David and Jonathan and this great friendship for life, we pray that you'd help us to be good friends that are willing to be strong through the storms of life as well as the joys of life. But we're so thankful more than anything else that you, our Lord and Savior, are the greatest friend ever to us, willing to lay down your life that we would have life. And so help us to open our hearts and lives to your amazing grace. We pray this, and all God's people said, amen.